I appreciate God and all his mighty works in my life. And as I was speaking with someone, we got to remember, when we meet people, we don't know how it's going to play out down the road. So we hired this receptionist at work. I started talking with her, and she's like, "How do you know all these people at the rest home?" I said, "Well, we go visit them." She says, "I work there." And she knew them too. She's just listening to me. And she says, "Where do you go to church?" "Church of God." She says, "Oh, I know what that is." Enough said, and that's what she said. And she knows the Bush family. She worked for hospice, and she talked about what a good family they were. And I'm glad and proud to be a part of the Church of God. I'm not whispering or holding my head around her. Brother, I'm proud to tell her I go to the Church of God. And it's a good place to go, and it's changed my life, and I would recommend it to anyone. It is the greatest thing a man or woman can ever find. And there's blessings in the house of God. And we know that we're endeavoring in this world to live for Jesus. And it takes a lot of work. And as the politics are getting wilder and more wild each and every day, I'm so glad that heaven isn't in chaos this morning. God is doing just fine, and he has pure judgment, and people can get up and say all they want, and they can weasel around, and they can be unfair, but the thought that blesses my soul is when I stand before God, in whatever condition I may be, that judgment's going to be pure. It's not going to be skewed. There will be no bribes. There will be no opinions, no arguments. It's going to be pure judgment. And I look forward to that day. There's a lot of con artists out here, a lot of weasels. And one day they're going to be uncovered for what they are. But I'm glad to be in the Church of God this morning. And if you would, turn with me to Job, the 32nd chapter. Job, the 32nd chapter. In verse 8, there are certain verses in the Bible that we can use the word epic. Just like the song, if you want to describe God and his greatness, I personally think, "How great thou art." You can't get any bigger than that song. That song is the closest thing that you can find to describing the awesome presence of God and his greatness. And there are some verses, "Thou art God," lasting from eternity to eternity, right? There are so many verses through the Bible that are epic verses. And I love this verse because in Job, the 32nd chapter in verse 8, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." Inspiration. And we want to talk about that this morning because inspiration has everything to do with us. The more we know in this Christian experience, the better Christians that we can become. And when we are inspired, brother, I'm telling you, when a man or woman is inspired, everything gets easier, no matter how hard the job may be. Come on, when we're in a service where the inspiration is mighty, it's not hard to be a Christian. It isn't hard. Brother, you raise your hand, you say amen, you get blessed. I saw people out there crying just a few moments ago. You know why? Because the inspiration of the Almighty was working on them. And I don't want to forsake that or take that for granted. Brother, it is a gift from God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. We're going to turn with a companion text in 2 Timothy. You please pray for me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Did you hear that word? I'm not offended by that word. Jesus was perfect, and if I want to join him in heaven, brother, I want to live as close as I can to him. I want to be with him. I want to be in paradise. Don't you this morning? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Think about this scripture. All scripture. Now I want you to think about, with no inspiration, this book doesn't exist. And without the inspiration of God, we don't exist. There is no way we can make it on this earth without the inspiration of God. Brother, I love the inspiration, and that's why people stay away from church, because the inspiration of God begins to work on them. And there's something that dwells up in there that they know and they recognize. And it makes them very uncomfortable because they're not in a position to accept the inspiration of God. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. Brother, the inspiration is what moves us. Come on, think about that appetite of yours. Think about what you'll do for a bite to eat. Come on, I want you to think about this. People, I'll smoke meat, brine it all night. I have hours and hours of work because I want to smoke something. A turkey, a chicken, some brisket, something good. And I'll put hours into that. You sisters bake stuff, you put hours into that stuff. You know why? Because there's something inside you. You begin to crave something. And you'll drive all the way across town, maybe over to Columbus, because there's something that inspires you to go there, right? But we're talking about our spiritual experience. And that's why religion cannot be a dead letter. It has to be alive. And people don't realize that. This isn't just a religion of works. There's not a few sayings that we have, a few dogmas and creeds. That doesn't bring the power. But the Spirit of God living on the inside, that's what brings the power. That's what gives us the victory. I told him I was talking to somebody and it broke my heart. I was talking to somebody in the hospital. And I said, what attracts you about church? Peace. That's what he told me. That just broke my heart. The idea of peace. Oh, we have a treasure here this morning. The inspiration. Do you know where that peace comes from? You can't go over to the buffet today and buy it. You can eat all you want. And it might bring just a little smile to your face, but then you're going to be sick afterwards. Brother, I'm talking about inspiration. You cannot find joy in food. In His presence is fullness of joy. Fullness. All things revolve around the inspiration of God. Listen to this definition. The process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something. That's awesome this morning. Did you hear that? The process. Process. Did you catch that? There are certain works that we have to do to be inspired. Do you know why the hippies and the punk rockers and the rappers, do you know why they're all on drugs? Because they're trying to find inspiration for their next album. They're looking, they're searching, and they will destroy their bodies to find some inspiration. What about us? Paul destroyed himself. He spent himself to find that inspiration. He gave everything he had. Brother, that's why the scriptures are rich. Come on, some people's experiences couldn't write these things, even if we had the ability to, because we don't have the depths. Paul went deep, and it just flows out of his letters. The inspiration of God just flows. And what a travesty that other religions are now on par with this book. That breaks my heart that people can put Christianity right in a big lump with Muslims. Come on, read the Word of God. There is nothing even close that Muhammad penned. He was a wicked old man, married a 12-year-old. Read about him sometime. That's the root of that religion. He was a raider, a robber. But I know Jesus this morning. He dwells right here, and I can feel him. And brother, he inspires us to greater works. What a savior, what a captain this morning. Or it is that action or power of moving the intellect. But I'm telling you, I love these definitions this morning. See, to move the intellect is to move what we think is possible. Come on, when we were lost, we are governed by what is possible because we think in the flesh. And we are governing our intellect by what we are capable of. But we forget, oh, there's a higher power here this morning. And if you get that inspiration, brother, you become something you never dreamed possible of. I'm talking about inspiration. I'm talking about laying down things that you don't think is possible. But with the inspiration that comes on you, if you seek it out, if we seek it, brother, God will give it. God wants us to make it. Every one of us here this morning, He wants us to make it. And He will give us the inspiration to do just that. Inspiration. It's powerful. Brother, I'm telling you, without forces, we could not survive. Did you know that? Do you know that without gravity, do you know that we couldn't survive? Do you know without wind, we couldn't make it? There are forces. Do you know that this earth without a magnetic field would be destroyed? That's why Mars doesn't have an atmosphere. It doesn't have a magnetic field. It has a very slight one. God has all these forces that are here for one reason, order. And without the force and power of God on the inside, brother, we're going to be a mess. Because He is the anchor. His inspiration and keeping power is what will guide us through the long, weary years we're going to face. Power. You know where we find force? Do you know where we find gravity? Do you know where we find power? Right in the house of God. See, you know, there's a process here working. Inspiration is a process. That was the definition. And this week, as we read our Bible, as we prayed, as we attend the house of God, as we visit, as we do all these things, brother, that brings on inspiration. You know what? To go higher, to go farther. The inspiration is something that we have to work with God. Inspiration this morning. Without the church, come on, you're going down, I'm going down. I must be surrounded by godly people. I don't find it at work. They don't talk about God. They use His name in vain. That's the only time I hear about God. They don't talk about God. I don't hear about it in the grocery stores. I must surround myself and work on being inspired. The inspiration of God. Actually, do you know that it rubs off? That's why we're here. It rubs off on people. That's why a congregation has been given. That's why God sets it up that way. Because in this town, by my life, by your life, inspiration works out into the community. And I believe that's why some of the churches around here have the standard that they do. You know why? Because they see. And they know what the church of God is. Come on, if you don't believe these things, I do. I do. I believe there's people in my family that live a certain way because of the standard that I keep. And there's people in your family that live the way they do because if they get a little too far off, they might seem to be off track, right? They might be diagnosed as lost. And so they keep this standard. They keep this image because they're watching you. Come on, Church of God, people know what we stand for. And I thought about in the book of Acts, it said they went from house to house. What were they doing? They were influencing. They were inspiring ones to become a part of the church. See, when we go to visit, it's not just us there. You say, well, I don't have the gift to go visit somebody. Well, don't go be awkward and weird. But when we go there, brother, God is with us. God is with us. And brother, he can be talking to him. You have no idea what's going on in that head. We're there in his stead. We are there to bring inspiration. We are there to bring hope. And it's through our life and what we possess. That's why God commands us to go out into the highway and hedges. Brother, it's the inspiration of God that has to motivate us to do higher works. Why do we do what we do? Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about why you feel the way you feel? We live in a world where, unfortunately, we rely on our senses way too much. Do you realize that this morning? The things of God cannot be discerned by what we touch, by what we feel in that sense. Human intellect, none of these senses can detect God. But there's a soul in there, and there's a spirit. And that's how God communicates with us. Come on, he impresses us right on the conscience, right on our mind as we're working throughout our day. Brother, a thought will come to us. That's how God works. And it's the inspiration. And as we live in a world that is actually a spirit world. Come on, we forget that here this morning. We live in a spirit world. And there are spirits everywhere working on us. Everywhere. I had these customers come in. And I'm going to tell you what, you could feel it. They were strange birds. They were strange. There's something different about them. And as I was showing them some motorhomes, we got to talking. And they get paid to ghost chase. And they go search for paranormal activity. They're playing with something they know not what. Those old Jews, those seven sons, they were trying to exorcise, do a little exorcist, weren't they? That old spirit, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? Brother, I'm telling you, we live in a spirit world. And when inspiration comes on us to do something, the scriptures say, try the spirits. Try them. Where is that coming from? If there's a new hobby that comes into your life, there's nothing wrong with hobbies, but I'm telling you, everything that we allow into our lives, where is this coming from? Spirits. And they're spirits that work to draw us away from the one spirit that is given of God, the Holy Spirit. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 16, for all that is in the world. What a statement. Did you hear that? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Do you know, when we really break it down, we think way too highly of ourselves. Do you know that there's a little bit of animal in us? Do you believe that? Brother, I watch people. When I hear about a man who kills his pregnant wife and his two little babies, that's an animal. The old devil got a hold of him. What are you talking about this morning? I'm talking about inspiration, and it doesn't come just from God. There are spirits out here that work on us and are trying to inspire us to do wrong. That's why pornography is so dangerous. People think that this isn't destroying my body just looking at something. But I'm telling you, you're opening yourself up to spirits. And those spirits get more vile and vile as time goes along. Stay away from it, young people. Come on, there's a curiosity and you're going to have to battle it. It's going to come your way at some point. The devil's going to bring that by your doorstep somehow, some way. Your friends might have a dirty magazine. You might come across something on the internet. And brother, the devil is going to begin to work on you. What is that? That's a spirit. And when we imbibe that spirit, you actually yield to it. And once you yield, you are a captive. Whether we want to believe that or not, we are taken captive at his will. People doing all kinds of devilish things. And that individual that killed Molly Tibbetts, I don't totally believe his testimony, but I believe one portion of it. He said that when they started arguing before he killed her, he said he blacked out. And he says he don't really remember anything until he was in the field with her body. Now, I'm going to tell you what, the devil, just like we can be filled and controlled. Filled means simply controlled. The Holy Spirit can do that with us. And I'm telling you, the devil can do that to people. Come on, we can ask people in prison. I guarantee you, there's a lot of them that have the testimony. I don't even remember what I did. I can't believe I did that. You know why? Because inspiration was working. And inspiration can take us past what we think we'll do. And that works for a child of God as well, right? Oh, I can't testify. We'll let the inspiration of God begin to work on the inside. And brother, your heart will be pounding so hard out there in the seat, you get uncomfortable because the inspiration of God is dwelling up. And it causes you to move. It'll cause you to visit. It'll cause you to read. It'll cause you to pray. The inspiration of God, church of God, if we don't have it, we're not going to make it this morning. It is the Spirit. It is the Spirit that means everything this morning. Thank God that He was given. God didn't have to give us His Spirit. How'd you like to be the Old Testament Jews? The Spirit worked and moved on men, but He didn't have a full possession of it. I want you to think about trying to live this experience without the power of God on the inside. How blessed we are this morning. How blessed. Can you imagine the consternation of the Jew wanting? That was Paul's testimony. He desired to do good. But there was something in there that stood up. That old law stood up. Thou shalt not covet. And brother, he says, I died again. Church of God, we're blessed. The inspiration and those desires, they are the engine. They are the governor of what we do. Come on, if we're honest with ourselves, the spirit that we possess and yield to is what guides us throughout our day. Come on, we have a choice. We can either decide to do what we want to do. God, every day, has a planner for us. Did you know that? What a planner He must be. Every day, He has thousands and millions of workers. and he has a plan, a daily plan for every one of us. And there's goals that he wants to accomplish. Thus comes the inspiration to perform it. And that's where we have to submit. That's where we have to yield, right? How do we do those things? We submit ourselves to the inspiration of God. The reason we have all that we have this morning is the inspiration of God. Turn with me to 1 John, the fourth chapter. 1 John. How would you preach without the Word of God? I wonder how. How would you preach out of the Quran? Books of garbage. I don't even know if they sing, right? You know why? Because there's no inspiration in it. You heard a Muslim get up and sing Amazing Grace? Do they have a song that's even close to that? Of course they don't. You hear people sing about Buddha, Confucius? Do you hear them sing songs of praise to them? No, you don't. Brother, we serve a living God. And the inspiration, think of what has flowed out of this Bible. Think of the thousands and thousands of songs, the thousands of poems, literature, commentaries. We could fill this church building full of this material. All coming from the inspired Word of God. Where does that put us this morning? Come on, if we're inspired of God, there's going to be some works that come along with that. There's going to be a testimony. And in 1 John, the fourth chapter, begin reading in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try. Don't try it. Don't try it and see how it works, but try or test. Right? Test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Skip down to verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John, the 8th chapter. Turn with me, please. John, the 8th chapter. John, the 8th chapter, verse 2. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong spot. Excuse me. Luke, the 8th chapter. Sorry. Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 2. Now, people wonder, why do I do what I do? It's because there are spirits out here. And that's why birds of a feather flock together. You ever been out here and watched thousands of birds? Do you know that they fly around in flocks of the same feather? Because there's something that's common with them. That's why you see all kinds of devilish things out here, and there'll be a group that partakes in that. You know why? Because they all possess the same spirit. That's why there are sects. That's why there's division. Because those people possess a certain spirit. And therefore, that's why they go out to let it be known that they're not of us. You know why? Because it's a spirit. And in Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. These are things that as I read, they make me shudder and they should make you shudder. Because there are things out here operating beyond our control. And they are working to destroy us. And it all starts with a conversation. It all starts with questioning something. And brother, as soon as we question what we know to be true and what we've stood for years, when we begin to question that, believe you me, all the hell's going to show up on your doorstep. And he's going to begin to work on you to begin to question everything that is done in the church of God. Mark, the 5th chapter. Just want to make it aware that we're living in a spirit world. And in Mark, the 5th chapter, begin reading in verse 8. For he said unto him, come out of that man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered and saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd. Did you catch that word? A great herd of swine feeding. There was a pig for every devil. I want you to think about what that man possessed. There were so many devils that they took over an entire herd of swine in one man. Look at that man's works. He was devil possessed. And brother, there's some people out there devil possessed yet today. And they inhibit those things with medication. And they tame those things. They try to. They try to train those things with medication. But I'm telling you, devil possession is real. The inspiration. There are no home remedies for devil possession. Thank God for fish oil and vitamins and soy lecithin and all these home remedies, right? There are no home remedies for a spirit. And once he binds us, there's only one answer here this morning. Jesus Christ. He is the only one that's ever been mentioned in this world that can break the power of a spirit. And that should make you real happy, because that's who we're preaching about this morning. And if you're bound with something, brother, there is hope, because the one that can break that spirit is here this morning. There is a cloud of witnesses right here. There's a witness right behind me, smoking, gambling. There are witnesses all over this congregation that God broke that binding power. And you know what? We can all testify that we were surprised. Come on, all of us. We'll be honest, right? We stood back and said, wow, I never thought I could do that. Been drug around by the devil all those years. And all of a sudden, we're living a totally different life. And we stand back in awe. The scripture says, stand in awe. We should. We should stand in awe of the one who saved us from a life of sin. There's inspiration if we want it here this morning. He wants to save. God wants nothing more than to take a old dirty vile man and make him clean. And brother, what man, I watch them, they're old classic cars. They're so proud of these cars. You know why? Because they restored them. They have hours of restoration in there. And they open the doors. They shine everything up. You don't think Jesus Christ is like that this morning? Brother, he loves to save. And he likes to showcase his power. His power. What a brother. What a God. He cares about us. He wanted to be made like unto his brethren. He didn't come down as an angel. He came down as a man and was tempted in all points. I can't get that in my mind. You know, he was tempted with everything. He was tempted to drink. If there were drugs, he was tempted with it. He was tempted with homosexuality. Yes, he was. all points. Jesus was tempted, but yet without sin. He knows how we're tempted, and he is able to succor those, right? He is able because he was tempted himself. He was a faithful and high priest. Thank God for Jesus. Once the Spirit is allowed to work, Genesis, the first chapter, verse 24, I always think of when God's creating, it says after his kind, right? After his kind. There are spirits out here after their kind. Devilish spirits. And they get a hold of ones, and that's why it's up to us. You can talk all you want to people. That isn't going to do it. You know what we have to do? Pulling down of strongholds. You know how we do that? Through prayer. All prayer. Come on, we're surrounded by situations in our life. There's only one power that's going to remedy the situation. And it's not my mouth. But brother, it's going to be my prayers. It's going to be your prayers. Casting down strongholds. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 1. Some shall depart from the faith. What happens next? Giving heed to seducing spirits. Turn with me to Luke, the 4th chapter. Back to Luke. We're finishing up here. Luke, the 4th chapter. Thank God for the scriptures. Oh, there's a process at work here. Oh, yes, there is. God's inspiring. He's working. He's here this morning in Luke, the 4th chapter. We'll begin reading in verse 33. And in the synagogue, he was in church. Is there somebody here this morning? And in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee?" Well, he was in his house. He was in God's house. That's what he was doing. We're in God's house this morning. Art thou come to destroy us? God's not here to destroy people. He's here to save. I come not to destroy, but to save that which was lost. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed. I'm amazed. They were all amazed. You know why? Because they had never witnessed anything like that in their lives. And it had never been before in Israel. They never witnessed that before, that a man speaking could break the power of a spirit. You know why? Because it's Jesus Christ this morning. And brother, he controls everything in heaven and in earth. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves. Boy, I'm telling you, this is a good thing to talk about. There's some good things we need to talk about. And they spake among themselves, saying, "What word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." As we finish in John, the 6th chapter, verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." What is drawing this morning? I thought about this and it blessed my soul. You know what drawing is? It's inspiring. Come on, through this flesh, we're not inspired to serve God, nor to draw nigh unto him. But God says, I stand at the door. He begins to inspire. Do you know why a salesman comes to your door and knocks on that door? He wants to inspire you to get off that couch and to come talk to him, right? He's there at your house to inspire you to think about something that you've never considered before. My coworker told me, he said, one of those vacuum salesmen almost got me. They showed up at my door. He says, I let them in, and they were in there vacuuming, showing them all the things. I can't remember which one it was. And he says, I was that close to buying it. Jesus stands at the door, and he's waiting. He's inspiring to introduce to you the greatest product that's ever been given, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want answers to life? It's all right here this morning. You need that inspiration, and that inspiration is here this morning. It's here.
Right.
And if you want to get right with God, believe you me, God wants to inspire you to do that. You know, I thought about people right before an altar call. People consider God. I know they do. And they seem trapped because I was in the same place. And there were many of you here that were in the same place. You're trapped. Just whisper to him you won't be saved. Tell him. You have the power to do that in your lost condition here this morning. Tell him you want to be saved. Inspire me, Lord, to be saved. Brother, I'm telling you, he'll hear that. And he'll do everything he can to save you. But you have to desire it too. We have to desire. I desired that. And when I finally got over myself, Brother, God took over. And I'm still amazed, and you're still amazed at the keeping power of God. Come on, I told you, somebody told me you just go all in on everything that you do. In other words, just give it a little time and you'll flame out. Well, praise God, I'm 12 years in, and this desire is not getting weaker, it's getting stronger. This isn't something I just wanted to try out. Brother, it was a commitment. And by God's grace, I want to see it through. And I want to drag ones with me into heaven. If that's what we got to do. We have a high calling here. The inspiration of God. It's divine power and energy. The inspiration, Job said, the inspiration of the Almighty. It gives understanding. It gives help that we're lost. And as we go about our day, I know you, just like me, we think of ones that need God so badly. You know what we're praying? God, get a hold of them, right? God, inspire them. Inspire them to want to change. Is there any here this morning that want greater inspiration? It's to the saint and the sinner. Without inspiration, I don't care if we've been saved 50 years, we're just not going to make it. It's the power of God working on the inside and inspiring us. Come on, think about when you picked up, maybe way back when you picked up a new hobby, how easy these fishermen, they get up at 4:00 in the morning. They stay awake all night because they're inspired to go out and try to catch a fish. Come on, think about all of our hobbies and all that newfound inspiration and what we're willing to do for it. Jesus Christ needs that inspiration, but it can't just be at the start and then die out. It has to be an ongoing inspiration. We all need it, and we can't live without it this morning. So if we're here this morning and we need inspiration, I told you what to do. Ask him. I dare you to. I mean that. I dare you to ask him. to be inspired. God cares about us. I'm so glad he's not a tyrant. He loves us. You know why they exalt old Mary? Because supposedly she's a mother, right? And thank God for a mother's love. Thank God for it. But there's a love that goes deeper than that. Jesus' love goes deeper than Mary's love or some woman's love. Jesus Christ died for us. Go back and read history. There are accounts of mothers eating their children. Right? I'm talking about a deeper love here this morning. Jesus Christ. He loves us. He wants to help us. And he wants to inspire us to greater works. Let us stand. Father, we're thankful.